really good, solid passages. Wouldn't you agree? I love these passages that help us understand the hope that we have and the promises that we can claim as we go forward as a body of believers. And this message is the last one in the culture series. You've made it, or shortly you will have made it, and will have studied and thought through what it means to be a body of believers that can be used and be healthy, that can grow both spiritually, numerically, whatever God calls us to do. So here's the test. Okay? What was the first message on? It started with C. I don't need to preach it again. Was on control. That was a long time ago. Fair enough. That was on control. What was the U, the first U? Thank you, Betty. We talked about understanding the vision. What is the vision of Mission Covenant Church? And where is that found? Every single Sunday? Yeah, and it's something that you're going to hear from me many times because we need to have it in front of us. Because it was a vision that you discerned as you went through vitality, came to the point of saying, what are we called to do? And that is what you claimed. To follow Jesus, invite your community. Remember when I preached about this and what that might look like? People should be invited so many times and in so many ways into so many things that they go, wow, that Mission Covenant Church, they're always inviting us to something, right? And then making new friends. And I challenged you to make new friends. Not just the ones that you've always been friends with, but befriend someone in the community. Okay, that's a pretty good challenge for us. So then L, what was L about? We have a team with this name. Leadership, and what it means to raise up leaders and to lead rather than to manage. It's too easy to fall into this area of managing people and managing tasks rather than raising up leaders and giving away ministry to leaders that are raised up. And then the T, we're getting closer to now. Good. Trust. Okay? Do we feel that this is a place of safety where if you fail, it's okay? If you don't do things the way someone else wants them done, you're okay. That's the type of culture that we need. And then last week, so we're real close. What was last week? Unafraid. Do we take risks? Because we should take risks. I told a congregation yesterday where I gave a workshop, I said, my congregation has done really crazy things. And I told them about the risks that you have taken. And that's great. But I'm going to need some new stories. So we need to take some risks and we need to go into our community and be bold because that's what we're called to do. The final two letters kind of fit together, and so that's why I put them into one message. Responsiveness and execution. And no, you don't get to do me in. It's not that kind of execution. Just saying. Just saying. Nora goes, what? What? Did I shock you, Nor? Not the first time, not the last. So, what do you think it means to be responsive?
Paying attention.
Paying attention. Good, Doug.
Then the execution is doing what
you say. Okay. Follow me. I love it. I love it. Okay, so let me share from the book one last time. I'm going to do for both of these. what it means to be responsive. Teams, congregations with healthy cultures are alert to open doors and to ones that are closing. You understand what that means? Sometimes we have an opening for doing ministry. Sometimes ministries that we've been doing need to stop. Okay? There's a cycle that happens. You don't do something because it's always been done. Sorry. It's not the way it works. Sometimes we're called to change some things. You did that when you changed to chairs, did you not? Okay? A door was opened to change this sanctuary to be more inviting to people from the outside. That was a wonderful step that you took. And it was hard, I know, for some of you. Very hard. There are churches that split over that one. So I'm glad you didn't. That's a good thing. So it says, an individual may not notice a particular threat or opportunity, but someone else on the team will. These teams develop the productive habit of keeping their eyes open so that they can handle every situation on the team, in the individual's lives, in the church family, and in the community. So being responsive to opportunities, being responsive to crisis, to needs, that's what this R is about. Execution is being sure that follow-through becomes the norm, not the exception. Leaders need to define the goals very, very clearly. Decisions should be articulated with precision, including who, what, why, when, where, and how. Do you feel that you've been communicated to that way? Sometimes. Sometimes it's not so clear. Obviously, some decisions require more thought and precision than others, but many teams err on the side of fogginess, and the team suffers. Clear delegation is essential to execution. Okay? So this is actually what Doug is saying. It's be alert, pay attention to what's going on, and then follow through with what you're called to do about it. Okay? That's the bottom line of this message. So what do the passages have to do with that? They did. Don't do anything bad. Put off the old self. We like to put it back on from time to time. From time to time. It's like, let's get it out of the closet and put it back on because it's comfortable. It's only when we are clothed in the new self, when we have these characteristics, that we have eyes that see and ears that hear what God wants us to do and to see and to respond to. We're often distracted by the worldly things that are mentioned there, by being angry, by being bitter, by being competitive, by having wrong motives. That's what's in these passages. That's the false self, the old self that needs to be put off. We must have the new self in charge. Would you agree? How comfortable is that new self? I'm so glad. I'm so glad. So, Doug, you just stepped into it, so let's go there. Let's go there. And I'm not really going to pick just on Doug. This is for all of us. Okay? Do unwholesome things ever come out of your mouth?
Oh, yes.
That's the old self, my friend. Told you you'd take it out of the closet, right? I would say most of us, if not all, have times, maybe during football games,
no.
that something unwholesome might come out of our mouth, right? What about being angry? Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do we ever do that? How are we going to be tuned into God to know what we're to respond to and to know how to respond to it if we're so busy being angry with someone. Anyone who's been stealing, stop it. Okay? I don't want to know. Okay? That's between you and God, but stop it if you're stealing. I think it's interesting that Paul gets that specific in that passage. But I love the next verse. Everyone must work, doing something useful with their own hands. Why do we do that? Why is that important? Everyone must work. Everyone must use their gift. And thank you, Dan, because that's not really the American motivation, is it? We go to work so we can have stuff, right? It's all about it's consumerism. But this is very clear that we're to do something useful with our hands so that we have something to share with those in need. Can I use you as an example, Sharon? May I? Okay, so Sharon and Bill, and may I share what you've been doing as well? They have been making scarves and hats and knitting and knitting and knitting and knitting and knitting. And how many did you take to the senior center? Okay, 35 sets to the senior center, 33 sent somewhere else. Wow. They both know how to make these, and so they do, and so they share them. That's what we're called to do. Thank you for what you are doing. Okay, it's not all about our own pleasure. It's not all about taking care of our own family. It's about sharing with those in need. And there are going to be people in this town that are warmer because of the gifts that these two are giving. They don't have much, but they have incredible hearts, and they have a talent to knit. And part of this, the yarn, as I understand, was from Kathy, was it not? Okay.
They gave us a lot of it. A lot of it we bought ourselves. And beyond from Kathy is
a different project. Okay. So this is what they can do. So my question, they're responding to a need, are they not? They see the need that there are people in this town who are going to be cold this winter. And so they respond, they execute, they follow through. And so they are blessed, and so are those around them. That is what this particular culture item is about. I know, Rachel, that you do flowers in a similar way to brighten people. These are gifts that are here, and all of us have some sort of gift. What are we doing to share it? I know I need to do more. I know I do. So when we talk about this false self that gets in the way of being responsive and executing ministry and mission, it says to get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling. When was the last time you were brawling? Don't tell me. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I'm not going down to the tavern and find out. And slander, talking badly about someone else, along with every form of malice. Malice is when you intend something to hurt. It's wishing something evil on someone else. When we do that, we are blocking the Spirit of God from our own hearts. And so we pay a heavy price. It's not just other people we are harming. It's our own hearts. We cannot be in tune with the Spirit of God when these things are in our way. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Why? Just as in Christ, God forgave you. That's why we forgive, because we have been forgiven. In the Hebrews passage, the last part says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." How can we encourage one another? One way is to recognize in each other gifts that we see. Because I know that there are people often who think they have nothing to offer. I don't have anything. I can't do anything important. And yet, what you can do may be more of a blessing than you could possibly imagine. So when we go down to Village Square, think about saying to someone that you know is gifted in a certain way, "Hey, you know what? This is what I know you can do." What an amazing gift that is. Spurring one another on. And then it says, not giving up meeting together. Oh, good. We like getting together. That's the best, is coming together, worshiping together, encouraging one another, and, of course, eating together. We don't do that at all, right? Encourage one another. This is what's in the passage. This is how we learn to be responsive as a body of believers. I love that this is describing the body of Christ as well as us as individuals in the body. And to know that we can make a difference. Do you realize that we can make a difference? You don't look sure. Imagine this. Imagine that every single person in here today, every single one of you, spent time paying attention to the needs around you. God will place something on your heart if you ask Him. He will. We need to open our eyes. One of the things that I have done in my own personal Bible study is to go through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and to see how many times it says Jesus saw. Jesus saw. He saw those that were hurting. He saw those in need of healing. He saw those who were demon-possessed. He saw, he saw every need. And then he responded, did he not, to those needs. So the first thing is we develop his eyes through working on our hearts and spending time with him. What if everyone in here saw a need that Christ put on our hearts, and then we did something about it? Wow. And you know, it wouldn't matter that you represented Mission Covenant Church. It doesn't matter if they even know it's you. Can you imagine what would happen in our community if people are suddenly touched by something that shows someone cares? When I had a conversation with Tracy at the senior center, she said the thing that we lack most for our seniors is hope. We've got the hope, do we not? We have the hope. If we show that we can love, they can believe then that maybe there is a loving God. So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to challenge you to take this seriously. I hope that through this series, you have come to desire to be all that you can be. I had so much fun bragging about you yesterday. And I did. There's so much that is so right. But every church can be better. Yes? Nobody's perfect. Every church could be a little more caring, a little more focused, a little more healthy. And I want to be that church. Is that something that you desire? Last week, we played the song Dive. And I've got to tell you, it has blessed me all week to think back to what it felt like when I turned around and almost everyone was standing, saying, I am ready to dive in. What I'm asking you to do this week with that one little gift you're able to share, one little thing you can do with your hands or through speech or whatever the gift is, I'm just asking you to put a toe in the water. Right? I'm not asking you to jump in the deep end. You might be called to do that, but just a little toe getting wet. I would love, I'm going to be gone next Sunday. I'm going to be with my grandsons. Yes. But when I come back, and what an appropriate thing in the month of November, I want to hear what's happened and how you were blessed by what God led you to do for someone else in the next couple of weeks. Will you have a story for me when I come back? That's good enough, Rachel. I hope so. I hope so. We can be that church. We can have a healthy culture. And we can make a difference in this community. We already are. Let's do some more. Will you please pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for the privilege of being your church. We are blessed in such a mighty way. Lord, show each one of us what we can do that will bless someone. Lord, we all have gifts you've given us. Let us not diminish them. Maybe we can cook. Maybe we can clean. Maybe we can make something. Whatever it is, Lord, lead us to the person that needs it from us. And then push us to execute the plan to make it happen. Thank you for the privilege of being your hands and feet. It's in your name we pray. Amen.